Shoes. Recorded live.
Welcome to the 10th of April, 2012. This is 42 Minutes, where the story never ends. I'm here with Doug Bowles, and Kevin Tenfold. I'm sorry, I'm not going to say your last name because I think that's how I know you.
That's fine. Most people know me as like Karma Tinfoil on Facebook anyway, so.
Right, Karma Tinfoil, Kevin Tinfoil. Now, I know you best from your show on Talk Shoe. It's actually how I decided to do 42 Minutes on Talk Shoe. I mean, I did it with a couple of other individuals other than you, but I think that it worked best on your show, and it kind of just, I like the format of call-in. But how long were you doing your show?
Actually, it was only a couple of weeks. I wanted to make sure I had a synchronicity show nice and early because I really wanted to bring as many of you guys, into my, area, as well, because I think there's a lot of there's clearly a lot of crossover when it comes to the whole conspiracy theory community and truther community and so on and so forth, and it's that crossover that really kind of actually even got me into all this, Jake's 9/11 videos and stuff like that.
You know, I can't even separate them really. I mean, I was just doing I was watching movies of a certain actor, an individual we just talked to a couple of weeks back, Andres Jones, and I started seeing little synchronicities involving conspiracy in his stuff that he would have nothing to do with. Do you know what I mean? So it was it's interesting because I don't know if it's just the frame of thought, but I don't know. I mean, we all here are in agreement that sync exists, right? You yourself have been really influenced by it, of course.
Oh, yeah, all my life I feel like it's been, it's touched me in weird ways. The whole thing of, as silly as it is, the movie Heathers is when I really noticed it the most. It's because I had literally failed the word myriad on a vocabulary test, the week before I saw the movie Heathers. And it just, wow, that really messed with my brain, and I was just ever since then I was definitely really open to a lot more. I had much more rigid thinking as a child before that.
Well, so you've just added a piece to the puzzle. This is exciting. I love it when so Heathers, we'll have to see how that fits in the coming week.
Well, it was a very personal synchronicity. There's a lot of personal truth within the synchronicity that I follow, and that's why I find it as more I try to almost define it as part of my spiritual path rather than anything else, because I don't want to even have it get intermixed with religion. Heaven forbid somebody tries to take this knowledge base that we're trying to create as all these different synchronicity researchers. I know I've only written myself into the grail lore of this marginally, but I'll take it just because it's fun to be connected with you guys.
But so this is what's so fascinating to me, is that everyone has a different practice. So it's the same language, but depending on their own personality, they tend to see things. They're either examining a microcosm, so the things actually relate to their own lives, or they examine it from a macroscopic viewpoint, and they're looking at larger reality, and they're not considering their own life at all. But, I mean, for the most part, I tend to think that it all connects anyway, because it's all connected. And so I have a tendency to probably process it a little more like you, where, Kevin, where the thinks talk to my life. And so then it's everything becomes personal.
Yeah, that's what really actually pulled me into this recently again, is the idea that I was actually looking around for some synchronicity, came across Jake's videos a little over two years ago now, probably almost two and a half or three. And after doing so, I wanted to just speak with him, and I found that he was on Twitter. So I went to go and find him on Twitter, talked with him while he was, like, in Africa, while he was at a coffee shop, on Twitter, a couple of tweets back and forth. And then the very next day, the Norway Sky Spiral thing happened. And I had never even gotten into social media before, so Twitter was just a beautiful way for me to just type in the search engine, Norway Sky Spiral, and all of a sudden, there's dozens upon dozens upon dozens of people all speaking about the same thing. And I'm like, this is so weird. What are the odds that I've got all this information now at my fingertips? And then the one of the first things that really interlocked and interrelated with it was The Last Mimsy. The movie The Last Mimsy had a very, like, spiral type of effect that kind of, like...
Norway spiralish and Mimsy. Mimsy and...
Yes, exactly. And when someone mentioned that connection to me, I was just like, okay, I got to see that movie. And the whole movie is about how, like almost the universe itself is speaking to this one guy, and he's not paying attention to it. And that is just like, that was just like another, like, wake up call. It was just like, I was reminded of the like myriad that I first started this whole synchronicity thing for me, like, or at least brought about the full awareness of it. I'm sure there were probably other syncs that I had even in my own childhood as I look further back, but I don't think I really ever noticed them until I was a teen.
So my question for you, Kevin, is, so then you got interested in Jake's videos, and then you started down the rabbit hole, but your own output, has it been just the tinfoil hat area, the radio show, or do you have any blogs, or so how do you like it? It's interesting. A lot of times, I think that the product of our interaction with the universe is the art that comes out of the sync community, and you know, different people end up with different products. Or products is a horrible word, but you know, it's like as these different pairs form, as you interact with the Norway spiral, the rabbit hole, or whatever, then, you know, we just kind of accrete these different interesting things, whether it's a sync video or MK Ultrasound's been making these great mashup images. I'd love to go to an art show. It's nothing
Actually, Kevin does these internet movies that I've seen, and I remember I actually asked you to send me a couple of them last night, but I'd seen a lot of them before then, some of the exact same ones, and it's cool because it's like a gigantic internet cut up in a way. Do you know what I mean? So
my wife actually suggested it reminds her in a really hyper advanced form of autism, actually, because I feel like I'm just reflecting. I'm feeling the reflections of the truth in the other videos, and then I really just want to take those snippets and then align them so other people can see the truths that I'm seeing. And it becomes this synchronistic art form that I kind of almost had to create for myself just to be able to, like it was as much I don't want to go so far as to say stealing of style, but definitely a mimicry of all the different synchronicity videos I've ever learned from. I kind of evolved that into, I tried to take that almost into like an art form to express a lot of my political motivations, which are really
But you also have like a couple of spiritual videos out there too, like the Ascension one. It's very obvious to me that you're influenced by Jim Sanders and his sync videos for sure. The kind of
is another one of my favorites there too. That whole scene, the Mr. Sanders above the door with the Mr. Anderson clip he did, like that was a really great reverberation he did in that whole thank you.
That seems like one of the classic sync videos at this point.
I would agree. But the style is very, it was very influential for Richard Aerosmith as well, but that's how a lot of people say that they use Richard Aerosmith videos to explain sync to people for first times. But I've talked to Richard, and Richard said that he was influenced by that, the love of a man is... or.
But then if you think back to that video that Alan shared, everything is a remix, you know, it shows in a nice way how no one gets credit for making anything up. They're just taking something existing and recombining it, you know, with their own unique perspective and making it new.
Okay, well, wait a minute, because I want to talk about something with Kevin again about the 4 a.m. video at the TED conference that you showed me. You sent that to me. Do you remember that video?
Yeah. The other day, my wife, like, I can't stand, like, commercials on television, so she got Netflix, so I stopped running out of the room whenever she turned on the TV. And they have this horde list of TED Talk videos, and it was so beautiful that one of the first ones I came across was about synchronicity. It was as if, like, it was finally this whole level of research is also being done by other people, and we didn't even know about it. Like, I would love to actually even get this guy on for a podcast just to hear his take on things. And the fact that it's like 4 a.m. and like,
that's more comedy than anything else. I mean, he goes off on 4 a.m. with these obscene connections that are just. And for anybody who don't know, I guess you could type in Rives. Is that how you pronounce his name? R-I-V-E-S exposes the secrets of 4 a.m. on TED.com. Or the gentleman.
There were actually a lot of interrelations with the 1932 and the different other dates.
Yeah,
that were interrelated, and that's how he showed that they were all actually, like, combined into this odd little synchronicity of the 4 a.m. He definitely went around the world with his little viewpoint on it all, and it's just as valid a perspective, as I think, as Jake's or anyone else's, and that's kind of the fun part about it, is that no one can, like, take much away from anyone else's stuff. It all kind of builds on everybody else's work, and eventually, who knows where it'll lead.
Right. I think it's a good format too. Like, I've always imagined myself presenting sync with the big screen behind you, talking like that, where you can show the slides. I think that's the way the old Kata videos are, kind of, in a way. And I've discussed this with him before, how he just because anybody who's seen an old Kata video, there's a click. You know, a click. He would talk and there was a click. And I asked him, I was like, what the hell is that click? It's because he was basically writing down what he wanted to say as he watched it. Do you know what I mean? But that format of showing a picture behind you and then saying something that totally changes the context of what the people thought they saw behind you is like the secret to sync, I think, when that little realization dawns on you. But your videos do that a lot too, because it's kind of like you're playing the music with the we'll make great pets video when but when you get to the part where he starts actually saying the chorus, you know, we'll make great pets, you start showing the different representations of the aliens. Do you know what I mean? So it totally changes the context of the video you're watching.
Yeah, I it had that political flair to it that I wind up always, like, it's really more of like a Bill Hicks type of lens that I put over it all. I don't know how much you guys know about the famous old comedian Bill Hicks, but even on his stage, the one time I thought you guys might have found it amusing, in his one thing, I think it was Relentless, he, on the back of the stage, he has the monolith behind him. It's actually on the stage with him in the show.
Right. And he's talking about acid in 2001, and he makes his little mic stand do the... I remember that shit. Hey, listen, though. Before
I'm pausing, I'm going to... No. I'm curious about his politics. So he said he ends up getting real political in his videos, and he has a viewpoint like Bill Hicks. But so what is your viewpoint, and... how does that relate to your sync perspective?
Right. That's what my question was going to be, because you once told me that you have a hard time thinking that this isn't like the evil cabal talking to each other in movies.
Yeah, there's so much about it that reminds me of Atlantis and your guy from the other week with that geomatic pattern that he saw that was there within all of the different films. Reminds me of I'm always thinking that, like, were these same types of patterns in stuff like Shakespeare, and did it, like, move the people of the time to think different thoughts, to either, like, raise or lower their consciousness or sway them to want to do certain things depending on the political climate of the time. And I wonder if these things are then being used now against us in some formats. But then there's, like, other companies that I'm, like, wondering, like, are they really just there to, like, try and really spark a new higher consciousness in everyone? Because Lionsgate puts out some amazing stuff. And not only is, like, Lionsgate, like, enough right there in the name, but, like, the movies that they have produced with stuff like Island or the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, it's so over the top with all the different things. Like, a lot of, there are a lot of people in the conspiracy theory community who really see, like, everything that Johnny Depp does, it has the most amount of mind control in it, and the fact that he doesn't watch his own stuff
makes
people think that he is actually really controlled himself. And I don't know how true that sort of thing is, but it does make a weird kind of sense when you consider the different levels of, like, mental programming that they could be trying to instill upon people through a predictive programming type of thing, where they, like, feed people the ideas ahead of time and get them attached to them. And I don't know, it almost reminds me of that Crystal Skull moment where the Russian ladies talking to Indy, saying how we'll put the thoughts into people's minds and they won't even realize that we're doing it.
Right.
So the
question is if it's MK Ultra or MK Cultra.
Oh, that's really good. That's a great, I can't believe I didn't see that before. It's like, yeah, like a make culture. Yeah, make culture. it's a very interesting. And it's those sorts of intertwined that I can't break away from. I can't deny that those things that those things really do seem like they're there in a lot of ways as they try to create our culture like this.
It's very easy. Like we were talking the MK Ultra sound. Yeah, he was talking about the Sharon Tate stuff. I mean, it only takes you just a little bit of time to get really creeped out and convinced that there's something to it, but it goes so deep and whimsical and crazy and beautiful. And now, you know, I'm not saying that that doesn't exist, but I want to see the product.
Is there another higher level to it? And that's when my brain starts to break, because I'm like, I'm open to the idea, but I can't. It's hard to fit it all in without feeling like I'm being, like, I'm trying to, like, be, like, it feels religious, and that's what I try to stay away from, is anytime I feel a religious feeling to it rather than a spiritual feeling to it, and I make that distinction very highly, that's when I feel like I'm kind of, like, in the right progression. And again, it winds up all interrelating back to Atlantis. I remember that story always really, like, grabbed me when I was a child, and that's why when I heard about even, like, just recent synchronicities have been weird for me, because, like, they say that, like, supposedly the Venus Project has to do with that sort of stuff, and I'm like, well, they're holding back all these technologies, so it doesn't really seem like an NWO plan if they're holding this stuff back. It seems like they've already got us in this whole matrix of control with our Federal Reserve notes and stuff. And I don't know, that's all, like, They Live to me. And then there's the other level of it that's like, we have a higher level of consciousness that we're all going to, and where there seems like there's these other levels of consciousness that are spiraling downwards at the same time. And it creates almost like a torus type of shape. If anyone's seen the movie Drive, I would highly recommend that as well.
What was the name of that one again?
Thrive. There's a thing called the Thrive movement out there, and it's based around this documentary that like that talks about using this like geomatic pattern to create toruses, and these toruses are very much like the shape of the warp core patterns that he has helped create with the Traveler. And that's all kind of like that all messed with my head too, because the sun is the Traveler as well, and
right.
There's so many levels of this, like Masonic connections that it's like almost it's difficult to even talk to someone about it because they don't have all the extra data that you're trying to present, and it feels like there's all these gaps you got to fill in, and it's difficult. People don't actually know where you're coming from, and that's what's great about having you guys around, because at least we're all able to comprehend where the other guy's coming from. We all kind of speak the same language, and as weird as it is, it kind of all like it's all based around sync.
Right. I agree with you. Because there is, I think that it's okay to me now to push the envelope. Like, I think sometimes I used to have this, critiquing eye on individuals, like, oh, they went too far. But especially 42 Minutes has helped me understand that there really is no too far. Like, the thing about individuals who latch on to conspiracy theories, like MK Ultra or, you know, certain theories on what's producing this, it's like they can only see within that box, do you know what I mean? But then there's the other scale of individuals who just sync with everything, like every single number means something, every breakdown of every word, every numerological, like, breakdown of a word, you know, it's just at the anagrams, the birthdays, there's all kinds of weird things that you can focus in on and really go nuts with. But the sync is the practice of all of that. It's actually like going to the extreme where you sync with just everything, and then you kind of like come back down and you're like, okay, you weed through what's important in your individual life, and then you realize there's a spiritual side of this talking to you, like, there's certain things and personal jokes and little puns that happen that make you a better person. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the good product. And that goes back to kind of like what Jesus said, you know, like, you can tell what's good by what product it gives you. Like, what have you gotten out of St. Kevin?
Again, for me, it feels like this spiritual path that like, allows me to tap into something. I'd say it reminds me of the person being able to, like, when you quiet your mind, you can hear it speaking to you. It almost feels like the universe is speaking to us, and we just have to be smart enough to put it all together. I mean, I hate to like go on again, but I'm gonna try and synopsize this real fast. But the biggest personal sink for me has been around Atlantis and that whole thing with the circular city of the Venus Project and stuff. They said that they used to do like a, because of their circular, well, and this used to be like a circular city, they used to have like these trenches or lakes or like moats around it, where they would literally like send rafts around it within the circles of water so that they could like transport stuff easier across the islands and such. And I was at this Earthship seminar, and it's all about sustainability over the weekend, and it's all about creating your own sustainable home out of literally trash. And, like, you pack dirt and cement like that into tires and just build these tires into bricks. And in one of the slides, they used lifesavers as a diagram for setting one up, and it was really cute to see all that. And I don't know, the lifesavers kind of had like a sync with me as well. I forget who it was out there, like a video on that as well, but I seen one once. And then there was, to tie it all in, as silly as it sounds, from being a kid, there are like log blooms all around the country in different parks that you could actually set up, and you could set up a log bloom out in the desert the way they have the Earthship set up. You can almost do it in this like round pattern, like an old, like basically like Burning Man, but you could make it permanent instead of using tents and stuff. A tent that you build Earth ships there, and you could literally, like, raise Atlantis on a desert floor. And these things, like, just, they feel like they're all very personal level of synchronicity for me, but I can't help but want to share it all with other people. It feels like there's this whole toroidal spiral happening where it's like this knowledge is coming from the universe to me, and I'm really just here to spit it back out to everyone else once I understand it properly. And I'm not saying I'm any sort of guru or anything. I just happen to be someone who's just listening and tuned into those frequencies. I think it's really necessary for people to being willing to think outside the box on so many levels, but also being willing to, like, look at the box and see where its own patterns of reverberation have happened and see what you can still bring with you. There are different levels that it's all interconnected. It's so as above, so below. I feel like it's all like this giant, like, it's one song. It really is one song, universe.
Just joining our one song here in the universe. It's 26 minutes past our 42 minutes on the 10th of April, and we're talking to Kevin Tinfoil about Atlantis and Sync and his own entry into this world. So as you tell us how important the sinking of Atlantis, and you could use a Y instead of an I in that, what do you make of Titanic being re-released? How does that kind of play with this idea of
I find it really amusing that we're having all these problems with our financial industry and knowing that, like, there are all these people that could have, like, stopped the creation of the Federal Reserve in its tracks who died on that ship. That really messes with me. And the whole Titan name has a very Masonic quality to it as well. And even the idea of just the iceberg itself, the part that you can see, is kind of like the capstone to the rest that's under the water. And I don't know, there are definitely a lot of odd synchronicities there that feels like there's something going on conspiratorial. But at the same time, you have to wonder how many layers were on top of it. Like you were saying earlier, like, is there a layer of something controlling beyond that? And I don't know, I'm reminded of Paul Stamets' mushrooms thing. There's like six ways that mushrooms can save the world. He does a little TED talk on it, and he just talks about how how mushrooms, the way they spread out in a fungus, almost spreads out in the exact same net-like fashion that our electrical lines went up, and then, like, internet lines went up beyond that, and phone lines and all that stuff. And that sort of, these sort of interweaving patterns really seem like there's something going on there that's beyond us. And
But so then, is that the controlling force, or is that God, or what do you make of that?
I it wouldn't surprise me if there's definitely some sort of Masonic physical hand of secret society that actually runs the quote-unquote invisible hand of the economy. However, I think that's trackable and really physical. Are their thoughts, how are they getting their thoughts? What is the paradigm that has created their mentality to make them want to drive humanity down to such a degree? Like, why do they want to overpower us and so on and so forth?
So they
or is it that
read the news of the day?
For me, it goes back into Dune and the whole Leto's Golden Path, and the fourth and fifth novels, or like the fourth novel specifically, Leto becomes this golden king emperor, god emperor of Dune, and he can even see his future in his death, and he decides not to actually look that far into the future so that there can be a chance for humanity to survive him. And realistically, what he did is he drove humanity down. He dragged them into the dirt so hard that they spread across the galaxy just to get away from him, away from that control of him. And it took them finally coming back and regaining that control by conquering that father figure. And I think that's kind of what is happening here. I think there's this like level of humanity finally looking at the father and the authoritarianness of the father. And I think that the more it's almost like Leia saying, the more he tries to squeezes fist, the more the sand through your fist, it just squeezes right out the more you squeeze. And I think that's where the real freedom lies, is once we break this, like the father is kind of like crushing us so that we can see our folly and not standing up to it. That's my take on it all. And I think that even interrelates with the whole Titanic thing, because it was all about like people just trying to stay on top physically, and it's like how many of the people really were like the most spiritual people on that whole boat, in my opinion, are the ones that went down the ship that were playing the music. They're just like, fuck it, I've only got a few more minutes left of life, I'm going to enjoy them. I'm going to make the life of myself and someone else around me happier.
15,000 people, I think, is what it was, or 1,500. Excuse me, 1,500 people. So it was like the big thing that happened. It was kind of like a 2001 event for sure. And the way that it reverberates backwards and forward through time, there was a book written about the Titanic before it happened and how popular it even is now 100 years back. But this is what James Cameron said about it. It's not about the numbers, like about the how much the money was. It's about the amount of people dead. It's about the hubris of the ship owners. For example, it's about society at that time. It was a very optimistic time. Technology was advancing. People built aircraft. They enjoyed electric light. Everything looked like there would be a great future, and the Titanic stood for that. And then, suddenly, the unthinkable happened, as if all of this went down with the Titanic. The Titanic will remain a metaphor. See, it is a metaphor, and it is funny that we're having this 100-year anniversary cruise with all of the survivors' like lineage. It's like that those bloodlines aren't going to die. We're going to go out on the Titanic again because things are looking positive, or the fact that you get what I'm saying. Like,
but the news that I'm reading is not positive. You know, so like it seemed like the thread that we were following for a very long time was the 1984 thread, which is the egoic father trying to control things even more, creating more of a structure because of the fear of the unknown, so that we're going to create this imposing empire, Darth Vader-like structure so that we're stable. And so the idea that the Titanic's relaunching just makes perfect sense to me.
It does. It's in some weird, sinky way, but it's like exactly 100 years later, and it just happens to be this 2012 important, almost marked as an evolutionary time. Like, is the Titanic going to sink again? Is all the hope, or does hope float? You know.
I'm actually more worried about the Enterprise sinking myself.
See, I knew Star Trek was going to come up, and I'm very happy that it did.
Well, that's kind of the whole thing that I'm going for anyway. Like, I see the Venus Project as a stepping stone for Star Trek. Like, no, we won't have intergalactic spaceships right away. However, we could solve all the problems of, like, you know, war, disease, politics, hunger, shelter for everyone in the whole nine yards. Like, these things are so easily possible now that the technology exists, and I've seen it, and like the seminar I went to just blew my mind, like how decentralized and how like these things have such a negative carbon footprint. Like, they eat dirt and trash. I've never seen anything like it. But the point is that there is this archaic revival happening, and I think that's the reason why, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just lucky enough to be that one dude that's standing at the right moment in the universe to be able to, like, look around and see these different patterns forming. But, like, as deep and dark as the control system is crushing us, there's these pockets of freedom that are popping up everywhere. And it's this sort of thing that I can't ignore. And it's these moments of freedom that are popping up everywhere where it's just like, if it catches and it spreads like a virus, the current control paradigm won't have much control at all, because the people, well, everyone will have the capability of seeing themselves. I mean, these homes, they once you're done making them, and for such a cheap amount of money, like under $100,000, you can make them. You and a family of four will never go hungry again, and can live in, like, 30 below temperatures out in the desert, right, depending on the setup. And it's this sort of, like I said, if you combine the mentality of, say, a Burning Man style mentality with the same type of willingness to just co-create reality, I see this beautiful flowering of humanity that shows how really unstoppable we are, even when we ourselves try to stop ourselves by creating this giant cancer that surrounds our planet. Like, that I call the cancer the monetary system myself, but a lot of people think money is the greatest thing in the world, and I don't know. I see it as just pure mind control.
The Enterprise. Were you talking about the aircraft carriers, the Enterprise?
Yes, I was. And that's kind of what I'm worried about, is that, like, they may use that to almost, like, I'm almost wondering if they try to use that, how many of the world's Star Trek nerds...
You're talking about the false flag to go against Iran.
Yes,
If
they sink that over there and cause a gigantic nuclear epidemic in that Iranian area where it's around at, and there's a bunch of stuff going on in that neighborhood, that is another false flag that could spark a lot of truth to come out. And a lot of people are, like I said, a lot of Star Trek nerds will really be hurt by it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it'll gut a lot of us emotionally because of what it represents.
Right, because Star Trek represents the end of money. It represents this unity of Earth. It represents, like, it represents hope.
Yeah, and I'm really concerned I'm worried that their control thing is going to try and create their control grid further. But I'm also then further, like, hopeful, because I see that the more they can try and control, the more freedom will pop out, and like as big as event as 9/11 was, I could almost see this Enterprise thinking as a possibility of doing this same sort of emotional spark where it, like, drops people, like a whole handful of our civilization, almost to, like, the bottom of their core, like they'll feel it in the pit of their stomach, and they'll really be emotionally affected, and the ones that, like, don't evolve and learn from that, they might fade away with the rest of the control grid. But the other people that really hit that rock bottom, and kind of bounce back in that, like, almost Fight Club type of fashion, I don't know how else to explain it, which again has that personal weird synchronicity with me because of that, like, the one dude wants to build his own house and the bag of the car that he's talking about, but I don't know, it all feels like it just, like, fits together, and I can almost see the story playing out ahead of time. If that sinks, like I said, so will a lot of people's hearts. But then the bounce back will create something I think even more monumentally beautiful. Like, it's like, I don't know, the more shit there is, the prettier the flowers. It's that fertilizing effect.
It's the same way that kind of the same way. Well, see, that's weird, because when does the Enterprise die? When does the Enterprise destroyed in the series? Where it's number
Is that
four
for
is
Spock?
Web. It's number three, right?
The yeah, number three, the search for Spock is when they do it, yeah.
Blow it up. Or, no, I don't know. My Star Trek mythology is lacking.
Well, no, but it's important because it's very, it's where I'm just looking for stink.
Pointing
I mean,
towards the Enterprise that he's talking about.
What's that?
So, which Enterprise is he talking?
There's two Enterprises.
Yes, Enterprise 4, that is the Enterprise in the movie, number 4, the aircraft carrier, is just the one we were just talking about. Then I think our host was speaking that we were going into the level of the Enterprise actually being destroyed in the films. And you're talking about the search for Spock was when, like, Kirk blew it up over the Genesis planet, which I think there's where all your synchronicities tie in.
But the
new world that was created.
The radiation with Spock is interesting, though, because he was radiated in number 2, right? He basically died in number 2 and was jettisoned, and the Genesis project. Right. That's interesting.
I know it's almost like I want to toss out Diogenes. People should look him up. Even if just go to the Wikipedia. Dio genes. God genes. That like that right there has enough of this sink that I think people should warrant looking into the cat. Diogenes.
Okay, so we're running out of time. We have about 40 seconds left. I'm going to link on the ThinkBook's Facebook page to all the different things that we talked about and the different places you can find Kevin Tinfoil's work. Is there anything that you'd like to close with, Kevin, in 30 seconds?
I think we covered a lot. Thank you guys for having me and let me kind of go off in this direction. I don't really get to think out loud like this as soon as I'd like to.
That's what we're here for.
And who do we have next week, Will?
We have Tim Murphy, an individual who we're probably going to be looking at his videos while we talk to him. We're going to try something new. So stay tuned.
Okay, well, it sounds great. Thanks for a great talk, Kevin, and we'll see you next week. Thanks, everybody.
Talk soon, Kevin. Bye.